This is Near FM
90.3.
Welcome back to Lifeline on Near FM 90.3. My name's Michael Sullivan and I'm going to be with you for the next hour or so. Now, on the line, I have Pam Bergen and she is CEO of Gambling Awareness Trust. Good morning, Pam. How are you?
Good morning, Michael.
Now, Pam, maybe we'll start off, but can you tell the listeners who are Gambling Awareness Trust?
Okay, so we're an independent charity. We were established in 2019, so we haven't been around all that long. We're managed by a voluntary board of directors, and we fund research, education and awareness, treatment and rehabilitation and support to minimise gambling harm across Ireland.
And you have just launched, or should I say last week, you launched the National Problem Gambling Support Service.
That's right, yeah. So it's a collaboration with the National Forum of Family Resource Centres. And this programme will see 20 family resource centres across the country provide confidential, affordable counselling services for those affected by problem gambling and their families.
Now, I did some work with one of the operators in this space, a group called Cún Uaire.
Right.
And they do great work in this area because I think anybody who has, you know, addiction is as a disease is you know, it really does impact the whole family and the wider circle and that. But I feel gambling is. It is one that really does get in under the skin and it can go unnoticed for so long.
Yeah, that is the issue. You know, the Minute report, which was published last year, estimated there to be 55,000 problem gamblers in Ireland. And it echoed international research on how for every person identified with a gambling disorder, at least six other people are directly affected. So that's a huge cohort of the Irish population that are affected by problem gambling in some way. They either have the addiction themselves or, you know, they are parents, partners, siblings, children and friends. And like the addiction itself, they're mostly unseen, they're under-supported. So family resource centres have an excellent track record in providing a huge range of supports and services in the community. And they include professional, affordable counselling. So we have three family resource centres in the Dublin area currently that will provide this service. So there's one in Ballyfermot, Ballyfermot Family Resource Centre, Baldoyle Family Resource Centre and Quarryvale Family Resource Centre.
And it's with all addiction, it's important, but with problem gambling addictions, it is so important to actually include the whole family.
Yeah, that's it. You know, often with problem gambling, as you said, the signs go unnoticed for quite some time. People gambling compulsively can be very secretive and family members mightn't notice what's happening, you know, until it gets to a stage where maybe the person starts to gamble more than they can afford. That's when it becomes noticeable. Bills go unpaid, debts build up. You know, they may start to borrow money or in extreme cases they could steal money. And this is where the problem impacts on family and wider society. So, you know, with services around the country in family resource centres, we're encouraging people, if you think there is a problem in the family, if you suspect, you know, maybe a partner, a sibling, a child has developed some kind of a problem and you don't know how to open that conversation or maybe approach it, you can talk to the staff in the family resource centre. All of the therapists are, you know, fully qualified and they're there to support you. You know, in opening that conversation and maybe seeing what can happen in your family to address what's going on.
Yeah, I think that is so important, is to give that support to the family or the loved ones to know how to broach the subject with somebody and maybe to help confirm or otherwise that their fears, but that's it's get it's it's that first initial getting to grips with it, getting to actually ask the questions, and knowing what questions to ask is so important, to have that little bit of help there from the resource centres.
Well, that's it, yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes it's the person themselves that is caught up in a cycle of compulsive gambling may not even realise, you know, I have a serious problem here. And they continue to chase losses and to put on bets. And they, you know, family members can get very frustrated, and, you know, ultimatums, they generally don't work. So it's about how you handle that situation and how you bring that person into a space where they realise, okay, right, something has to change here, and maybe encourage them into getting some support. You mentioned Coonwara there. We fund Coonwara as well to provide a gambling-specific residential treatment programme. So in the past, you know, a person with a gambling addiction going into Coonwara would have been involved in residential treatment with others caught up in addiction in drugs and alcohol, and they didn't feel that you know, a lot of the treatment was specific to them. They didn't have the same peer support. So now there is that program there in Athy. So, you know, anybody with a more complex kind of condition can be referred into Coonwara, and it's an excellent support to have there.
Indeed it is. And gambling is one of these things that I feel if it gets to a certain level, you need to step out of your community for a little while to get those supports.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and for some people, a residential treatment program is the way. It's, you know, it takes them out of you know, where all the triggers are, and it gives them that space and time to reflect and to recover. You know, and recovery is possible, and that's very important to say. You know, people do recover all the time. However, look, we realise that it's not for everyone. I mean, not everybody can take that time out. Maybe people are still trying to hold down jobs. It's not so easy for parents, you know, people who have responsibilities. So we want those people to know that supports are available in your community. You know, if you log on to our website, gamblingcare.ie, there's a whole host of information there to help anybody. Even if you just have questions, even if you're not sure, if you're not sure about where to go, if you don't want to go to a family resource centre in your local community, you can see where is there a centre nearest to you that you could go to. So there's lots of information on there for anybody who's looking for a bit of support.
Now, just to make it clear to people, Gambling Awareness Trust is supported by the gambling industry as well.
That's true, yeah. We're funded by donations to a social responsibility fund through the Irish Bookmakers Association. So not all sectors of the Irish gambling industry are contributing, but the majority, they contribute. It's a voluntary contribution into the social responsibility fund. So this is the funding that's available to us that we're delighted to have to be able to provide these services.
But you are independent, although you have a board and so forth, but you are independent of the gambling industry per se.
Absolutely, 100%. The industry, we get this funding through the Social Responsibility Fund, which kind of mirrors the proposed social fund in the gambling legislation that the government are working on at the moment. The funding we have, I mean, it's not available. We couldn't get this funding from the state. You know, we don't have a national harmful gambling strategy like we do have drugs and alcohol strategy. So the funding wouldn't be available from government funds. You know, that's why this fund is there, and we can use this independently. The industry have no influence at all whatsoever over the work that we do.
Yeah, and the reason I bring that up is because I know some people will be out there saying, you know, oh, the gambling industry, they're putting money into it, so it has to be controlled by them. It's not.
No, not at all. And I know there is a perception that could be the case. You know, and people have said it to me before. But the board of the Gambling Awareness Trust are completely independent. We had that piece of research commissioned so that it would identify the gaps and it would show us where we really need to target this funding. And our primary objective is to use this funding while we have it to maximum potential to get the research done, to get the services on the ground and to get the supports out there that people need.
Yeah, and I have to make my position clear. I have no problem whatsoever with either the gambling industry or the alcohol industry putting money into supports for people who have addictions. And the reason I say that is, and that I say that with the codicil that, you know, that is put into an independent organisation to run. I think it's a good thing, and I think maybe even that the government should, and I know you're saying there that they are looking at it, but the government should say a certain percentage of your profits have to go to these things. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, and with the legislation, that should be the case. You know, that we acknowledge that these products cause harm, so it's important that the people who are providing the products then are funding services. You know, like alcohol, they're not involved in any of the services. The services are independent of the industry, but they have a responsibility.
Totally. And I know this is going to sound as if I'm minimising things, but if you think of it of industry runs Repack, which deals with waste products, you know, with waste packaging and so forth. The yeah. industry pays for that, and rightly so, to recycle it and get rid of it. Just the same as any other industry, that they should be paying in if they're doing not so much. I'm not going to call it harm, but if there are issues there, that they should be paying in for it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. There are, you know, the industry needs to acknowledge that they have a social responsibility.
Totally.
And like I said, it would just be virtually impossible to get this funding from the national the exchequer, the taxpayers' purse. Like it's just we don't have the structure there currently, and I'm sure all of that will change with the appointment of the regulator and the enactment of the legislation.
Yeah, and one of the other things is that when that there's taxation or there's levies or any of these things, it's very difficult to ring fence that money.
Yes, that is an issue, you know, and we would hope that would get significant attention when the levy is imposed on the industry, that funding is ring fenced and that it is directed towards exactly the same areas that we currently look at. You know, we need more research. There's a deficit in the field in Ireland. You know, knowledge around risk factors associated with problem gambling in Ireland is actually limited. You know, it's an area that needs a lot more work. We need targeted policy, and in order to do that, you need sound data, and we don't have a lot of that either. So we're hoping, you know, that with the work that we're doing currently, with the Family Resource Centre project, the 20 centres around the country, that we'll be able to gather enough data and information to inform future policy going forward.
Indeed, and also, and I'm a big supporter of, I believe, in education. Getting out there and educating, particularly our young people, about the dangers.
It's very important, yeah, and you know, we see that from we rely heavily on research from the UK, and we would see that from their research. It is so important because young people they mostly aren't aware, and as you know, like online gambling it's everywhere. Everybody's got a smartphone, you know, everybody has access to all different kinds and types of gambling, And in terms of education, you know, this also came up in the Minute report. When practitioners in the field were interviewed, they said, you know, that they felt inadequate training was there around gambling addiction. Like, they had all qualified, they'd all achieved their BAs and further studies in addiction, and gambling doesn't really feature as part of that. So we teamed up with Coonawarra and Munster Technological University and Tabor Group and UCC. So there are two CPD courses out there for anybody who wants to upskill and who wants to get a better understanding of gambling harms. They can log on to our website, as I said, gamblingcare.ie, and they'll see the information there. So we're hoping that these courses happened last year, they're into their second round of student intake, so we are hoping that that's going to improve service provision across the country, that people will feel more confident in the work that they're doing with people who are experiencing problem gambling.
That's excellent to hear that. I'm delighted to hear it, because I'm a firm believer that, you know, education is the way forward to deal with all these things. There's little. It's yes, you have to put money into dealing with the problem when it arises, but isn't it much better to put in the money a bit earlier and actually stop the problem arising altogether?
That's it. Early intervention and prevention. That whole area needs huge focus if we want to prevent further harms in the future with young people. And education is where it's at when it comes to early intervention. You know, if we are able to educate young people about safer gambling and about the harms that can be caused, then we're going to prevent a lot of problems in the future.
Indeed. Pam, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us this morning. Would you just let people know where they can get more information on this, where they can get more information on the National Problem Gambling Support Services?
Yeah, thanks so much, Michael. If people log on to our website, gamblingcare.ie, there is a whole host of information there on education, research, and more importantly, services. So no matter where you are in the country, you can log on and you'll see county by county all of the services that are available. And like I said, if you don't want to approach something in your own community, you will find something that's close by. The phone numbers, all the contact details will be there, and you just need to make a call and you'll be looked after.
And that's gamblingcare.ie.
Yeah, that's it.
That's excellent. Pam, thank you so much for coming and talking to us.
Thanks a million, Michael.
Absolutely delighted. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There we go. That was Pam Bergen, and she is CEO of Gambling Awareness Trust. Now, I did have a few people during the week mention to me that they had reservations about the Gambling Awareness Trust, because that there is money coming from the gambling industry. I have no such reservations about money coming from the gambling industry, as long as the gambling industry aren't trying to control the services or anything like that. I don't see any problem with it. I think it is only right, and I'm delighted, absolutely delighted, that the government are going to impose a levy on the gambling industry, that they that money would be put towards supports, and I think it's only right, and it'll be much needed funds, as long as it's properly ring fenced for those supports. And don't forget that web address, www.gamblingcare.ie, and that's gamblingcare is all one word .ie.